So, Byron, I might have to get you to lead the way for most of this podcast because the listeners can't see, but you can see it. I clearly look like I should be in American Dad or Family Guy. Just had some wisdom teeth removed a few days ago. It's been a bit tough.
Yeah, it's funny. A couple of episodes ago, or might have been even this last episode, you made a comment about the size of my head and our listeners potentially having to get a new TV if we were to do YouTube. But yeah, it's funny. I'm looking over at quite a size melon at the moment, so
I'm struggling. I'm just glad that I'm sort of stuck with supportive family and friends. Like, you picked me up on Sunday and we were about to go to the gym together. I got in the car and you said I looked like I had a stroke. So yeah. it's just really good to have that supportive network around and talk to your buddies, and yeah, it's good.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate. Look, apart from your swollen face, you also look a bit dejected. You've had a tough week, I understand, again.
I've had a very tough week, actually. As we talked about last week, I dropped about nearly 400 to 600 places last week. I dropped again another 400 places. I'm just outside the top 2,000 now. I'm pretty much back where I was pre-buy round. It's been very disappointing. I'm very dejected. Looking at my scores over the last 3 weeks, I haven't actually hit 1,000. And I know you'll be talking a lot about it, and I would be if I was you. You've had is it four now, thousands?
4,000 plus in a row now. Yeah.
See, and that's where it's hitting me. And the two players that killed me over the weekend was Corey Thompson scoring 16 points. Pierce, really disappointing again, scoring 20 points. My captain choice as well. Out of all the players that did really well, scored a 70 or above, I went with Tom Lolo. And he did look amazing in the first opening 25 minutes of the game on Thursday night. I thought, I picked a winner here. And I remember you texting me because you didn't select him. And I know you'll talk about who you selected probably at length. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I chose Lolo. It looked great. And then, yeah, just didn't get the job done. But that's 2 weeks in a row. He hasn't hit 60. And I think I might actually have to go for him again this week against the Broncos. I think he's going to be right up for the derby.
I think it's a good shout to stick strong with Jason Taumalolo, and hopefully it pans out for you there. But just after the Tigers game, I took the liberty of sending you a text that simply said Thompson with the arm flexing emoji. Talk us through the thoughts that went through your head when you received that text message.
Disappointment.
You're very short with your reply to me as well.
Anger. I might add. Yeah, well, I can understand that. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been sending you one saying like, oh, Corey Thompson double or second try for the game. So,
or your absolute classic line, my man.
Yeah, my man, Corey. I sent it to you and a few other guys that are in our league. So, yeah, it wasn't nice to get that, the old Corey Thompson reply back, but hopefully he'll pick up this week. Another thing that listeners wouldn't know, that I actually used one of my trades as well on Thursday.
Bought in big bad Nathan Brown.
Big bad Nathan Brown. I thought I might have put the curse on him because he did get injured at one stage, and I was like, typical. But he's named again starting lineup, which is great. And
looks to be okay. I don't think it's as bad as what they first thought, and still cracked a 50, so it's not all bad there.
So I traded him for Twal. We'll discuss him again later on in the pod. So yeah, hopefully I've got one more trade left, which I'll keep up my sleeve over the next couple of rounds. And let us know how you went, Byron. Come on.
No, mate, it's good to hear. Look, you could be last in the NRL Fantasy by round 24.
It's the first time I played overall. So overall, I'm quite happy. But I think some of the things I did during the buy rounds, and I used those four trades and things like that just for a short-term gain, I think I've learnt now for next season.
Yeah, look, if you're ever feeling a little bit down on confidence, just bring up our classic head-to-head league or our draft competition. You're right up there. So you're doing okay. Over on my side, 1,108 for
me. How good's that? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I mean, I think somebody cracked the 1,200 this week. So there were some massive scores. I think my 1,100 odd was only around the 400th highest score of the week. So it just goes to show how many people are putting out big numbers week in, week out, and are really fine-tuning their teams at this stage of the year. My team's probably a little bit behind the eight ball. I have been moving up the rankings. I started the round at 131, finished at 107. So I'm very close. I can smell the top 100.
But that's massive, though, in that type of top 150, top 200. Those few places are a massive step.
Yeah, it is a big step. But the only sort of concern I have is I've been pretty risky in my last 3 weeks. I've captained Tedesco, Taumalolo and Tedesco. So obviously I nailed the two 90 plus scores for Teddy. I joked about it on the podcast about Teddy and Dayfooty, but I absolutely believe that during the day. Yeah. He just seems to absolutely kill it. And particularly if he's playing a bottom eight side, or you know, the team coming 16th, no less, in the Titans. So I was pretty confident in that in the end, and it obviously paid off for me. But outside of the captain choice, I think my team's probably one or two players behind where I'd like it to be. I have got a couple of trades up my sleeve, but I'm going to hold off again and just see how I go through these next couple of rounds, because it has been a little while since there's been a really fantasy-relevant injury, and I just feel like it's due. So I am very tempted to bring in someone like Moses this week, and that would really complete the puzzle piece for me. But yeah, I'm just going to hold off and see how I go, so no trades for me.
So for listeners for next week, we've had 25 consecutive episodes, which is a great achievement for us.
I was actually just about to ask you, how many have we done in a row? That's not too bad for a couple of amateurs.
Yeah, can't complain with that. Unfortunately, I'm going away for work next week, so I won't be able to actually do the pod. So we'll have a week off, but feel free to contact us through our social channels like you normally would, even asking us questions, even if we're not going to cover them, obviously, during a pod. We're more than happy to ask any questions or any break-evens. Feel free to contact us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, because we won't be having to record a podcast or edit it and upload it, those sorts of things, we're going to have a little bit more time up our sleeves. So we really want to up the ante with our engagement over social media during that time. We'll do a Q&A post that I guess we'll just jump in and answer all your questions directly in the comments. And feel free to send through your teams through the DMs as well. I'll be happy to work with you to steer you into a good trade or two. And I think another one before the end of the season, Liam, you've got lined up that we potentially will miss.
In a fortnight's time, we actually considered Byron was going to do the podcast by himself, but we were concerned about the trauma to ears, long term as well as short term. So we just decided to give your ears a bit of a break.
Yeah, no, that's it. Well, thinking about you guys there, it could be a pretty arduous task to sit through just my voice all the way through. So we will have a spell on a couple of weeks there. But I think it's worth mentioning as well, a lot of people are probably expecting that after round 25 that we're just going to stop the podcast. But we're going to cover all of the final series, all the international games, and we'll be starting super early with our planning for 2020 and also starting to put out some YouTube content. Hopefully, if we can work out how to film and edit a video. So we've got a little bit of learning.
And also how to look good as well. I think me and you will have to, yeah.
That's going to take some serious work, a bit of Vaseline on the lens, a couple of things like that just to...
Yeah, just some dodgy old little tricks there that make us look half decent for YouTube.
No, we'll work it out. But I guess so the spell is definitely for work, Liam. It's not because you're feeling under more pressure than Paul McGregor is at the moment with the Dragons. I mean, you'd have to be under a bit of pressure. The OTL Aztecs... probably not traveling that well. Is it definitely work related, or is it more
definitely work related? Okay, and okay. But I am feeling like I'm a bit of a free falling at the moment, like a Titans squad at the moment.
No, I think you're going to turn it around, mate. But probably a little bit too much dribble there to start the podcast. We'll jump into everyone's favorite segment, who's hot and who's not. I've got the buys this week, so we'll kick things off. Most popular buy at the time of checking them was Sam Verrills. I famously called him Verless on the podcast last week, so that was one of my best. He's playing 80 minutes at hooker for the Roosters, so that's obviously a pretty enticing combination there. He comes in this week at 333 grand, and he's probably the best cheapie that's popped up in a little while when you consider the likes of Moga and a couple of other guys that have been available recently. And I really like him as a cash out slash 18th man option, as he looks set for about 80 minutes for the remainder of the season. Jake Friend, unfortunately, isn't expected back until finals footy. And Trent Robinson's been very vocal about his opinion of Radley's best position being lock. So he looks pretty safe. And he got a 60 on the weekend. That did include a try. I think it's probably safer to assume that he's a mid-40s scorer and could come into your side as an emergency if you were to have a injury later in the round. Do you like him as well?
Yeah, I definitely like him, especially as an emergency option. Even if you're lowballing him, even if he gets a mid to late 30s, that's still a respectable score for his price. And you've got him looking like till round 25, because Friend doesn't look like he's coming back till the final series, which is perfect.
Yeah, so you get plenty of mileage out of him there. I mean, if it was round 6 or 7, he'd be a must-have, wouldn't he? Because he's going to make a stack of cash. But obviously the cash cows are, for most of us, pretty well irrelevant at this stage of the season. But if you are jumping on and you need to free up as much catches as possible to make that next move alongside him. It's this week you've got to do it because he does have a break even of minus six. The next guy on the list is on the other end of the price scale, and he has the highest average of any half ahead of round 21. And it comes at no surprise that he's one of the most popular buyers this week, and that's your man, Daly Cherry Evans. He's been in some great form, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's been one of the most form players in the last five games. I just wish I could have him in my squad.
Yeah, he's not in my team
I'm drooling when I'm watching him play.
It's hard to watch. Particularly, I'm finding it hard to watch Mitch Moses go through the motions on the weekend. Daly Cherry Evans is another, and he's about 60K cheaper than Moses as well. So I think he's looking like really good value this year. He's got a break even of around 40. So again, if you're sort of sitting back waiting for the perfect opportunity to jump on, you'd expect his price will upswing from this week onward. And what I really like about him is the fact that he's partnering Dylan Walker. So he's doing absolutely everything. And you just got to look at his kick meters over the last couple of weeks, between 400 and 500 each week. So that actually equates to 20 to 25 points from that statistic alone. So there's plenty to like.
Yeah, massive base stats there.
Can't argue with him as being the second most popular buy this week. But the next one's a really interesting one, actually. Robbie Farah, he proved that they're with few better options than the Tigers veteran early on in the year when he was playing 80 minutes. And despite that, you know, lull all the way through the middle of the season with Jacob Little on the bench, he still averages a tick above 50, which I think is amazing. Just goes to show how well he does go when he is on the field for the whole game. And he's at a pretty affordable price point as well, $615,000. Has he come into contention for you?
Just unfortunate in my situation with one trade left, he hasn't. But if you had a fair few trades up your sleeve, if he has that 80-minute play, you've seen his scores with 80-minute performances this season. You're looking at early mid-60s average.
Yeah, well, he had a 66 in the last 2 weeks. Did score a try in both of those games. But I think the fact that the Tigers have got a couple of wins with him out there for the whole game probably bodes well for his chances of playing the 80 for the remainder of the season as well. So comes in around 21 with less than 7% ownership. So he's still got that pod status under 10%. And he starts at around $210,000 of a discount on his starting price. So he's really good value. And if you're 100% confident that Little's not going to come back into that team, I can see him being a very good option. Next on the list is Captain Courageous for my fantasy team in recent weeks, and that's Teddy. So a very well-deserved fourth place for buy of the week. And look, after going 90-plus twice in the last 3 weeks, alongside probably Damian Cook, he's undeniably a must-have, isn't he, for the run home?
Yeah, must-have. He's just so good, isn't he?
Wade Graham has come on the list as well as number 5. So this was an interesting one as well, I thought. Look, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the NRL, and his ability to unlock players outside him, like we're seeing with Bronson Cherry, is undeniable. And as far as back rowers go, just in terms of his skill, puts him in a rare category. I think his passing and even kicking game is pretty impressive. But with all that said, it just hasn't always translated to fantasy scores for Wade Graham. And as a result, I've got him probably in that second tier beneath your Jake Turbos, Tau Malolos and Cameron Murrays. So given the stage of the year that we're at, I think it's probably a little bit too late to take a flyer on a mid-ranger like Wade Graham. And although he is coming off a 50-plus score this week, if you take a look at his stats from 2018, he's a much safer bet for the mid-40s, which isn't quite high enough, I think, to justify him being a final 17 player this year.
Yeah, he's one of those players, as we mentioned before, previous times like Cooper Cronk and things like that, who are actually better players than actually fantasy players. He's an origin player, but not quite up to that tier one in the fantasy game, unfortunately. I would be, missing him.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of other options out there. Even at his price point, I'd probably be spending an extra 100K or so to go to a Robbie Farah. Next guy on the list is another one in the must-have categories, right up alongside James Tedesco there, and that's Damian Cook. So essentially, it's a rinse and repeat of what we said for Tedesco there. But I wanted to have a bit of a look at him from a captain perspective this week. At this stage, he is who I am locking in. And I had a bit of a look, and I thought it was worth noting that in round 21 last year against the Storm, who they've of course got this week again, he scored 98 points and absolutely played out of his skin. So I think he's a big game player. And ordinarily, if you were thinking about captaining a half or an outside back, when they play against the Storm, you'd probably avoid it because they've got a really good defensive structure and they can, you know, really slow down a game and bring it down to their level. But for Damien Cook, he seems to rise to the occasion in these big games, and I think he's probably in a prime position to bounce back with a big score after having gone down to the Sharks last week.
Yeah, I think that's a great call, and he'll get some defensive stats at least anyway, and that will get you at least 55, probably the 60 if they did nothing. So to get some attacking stats underneath that, yeah, it's a very good call.
Last but not least, we've got another hooker who's actually dearer than Cook, which surprised me when I was crunching the numbers. But if you're looking for someone to partner him, you can't look any further than Cameron McInnes. He's one of your favourites, I know. Got through a mountain of defence this weekend. I think he made upwards of 50 tackles. But look, with the exception of last week where he had 8 tackle busts, that's normally all you're getting from Cameron McInnes, but he's starting to get a couple of little attacking stats sneaking in here and there, and he's putting out some massive numbers.
Yeah, I had him as captain a few weeks ago, and I was just purely getting points from his defensive.
It was against the Storm at Wynn Stadium, I remember, yep.
Yeah, I did, and I think he got like something like 45, 50 tackles, something incredible, and he got a solid 55, 60 points. But now if he can get some, if the Dragons can upturn their performances and get a little bit more attacking, his averages should go up to mid to late 60s at least.
Yeah, and look, and there's people out there as well that might be thinking that they might avoid captaining someone from the Dragons because, you know, their season, although mathematically, I think if they win every game, it's possible they go into the eight, but highly unlikely they're going to be playing semi-final football. Cameron McInnes, regardless, is going to leave it all out there on the field. He doesn't need that motivation to what's going to be happening in 4, 5, 6 weeks' time. He's out there to win, and James Graham spoke to this on NRL 360. He said you'd be hard-pressed to tell him that they're playing for nothing. He's just a real competitor, and for that reason, I love him, and he can be a genuine captain option any week, regardless of the opposition.
And definitely a genuine captain in for the actual Dragons as well.
Yeah, he's a really good leader. He shores up that middle, and I'm sure that's coming at some stage down the track in his career. Well, mate, that's it for who's hot. Who are we trading out this week?
So the first one is a player that I actually own. It always seems to be the case when I'm doing who's not.
There's a bit of a pattern here, isn't there?
Yeah, probably that's why I'm dropping down each 400 places every week. First one, Mitchell Pearce. So just looking at his stats, and at round 13, he was priced over $750,000. Now he's priced at $514,000. So
soon to be under that, soon to be in the high fours.
We've got a break even at 62 this week, so you can't see him going to be hitting that. So he hasn't scored more than 42 points since round 11. So a lot of people have been querying him over the last few weeks, and we have been saying for us he's a hold. But with all those stats,
unless you've got the luxury of a few trades up your sleeve, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, if you had a few trades up your sleeve, you'd be looking to sell him, unfortunately.
I can see the sell, definitely. And look, our tune has changed a little bit on him. We were pretty confident that he'd bounce back, but the scores have really dried up, and the missed tackles are a bit of a concern as well. So unless you think the Knights are going to turn things around, they have got a pretty friendly run home. So if you are stuck with him, it could be worse. But if you're in a position where, I think this is what we said last week, Moses, a Milford, DCE, those guys are clear upgrades. But look, if you had one trade left at the moment, I'd just be sticking with him and hoping for the best.
Yeah, so I've got Pearce to the end of the season, and I know what he's capable of. We saw it early in the season and past previous years. So I'm a bit concerned, but hopefully that can turn around at some stage sooner rather than later. The next one is Finu. So he was dropped last minute, which we probably would have expected, Appy coming in and finally dropping to the interchange. But he scored really well off the interchange and got probably a bit more minutes than I would have thought. He got, I think, just over 50 minutes and scored 41 points. So
it's not an absolute disaster, is it, if you held him?
And you could probably keep him for another week if you wanted to. He's at a break even of 39. So if you had limited trades and he was the one you thought you might want to keep for an extra week, you could easily keep him. He'll get some minutes.
Yeah, so he's one like Jazz Tavunga, where a lot of people were bringing him in knowing that potentially his run in the starting lineup could come to an end. For Jazz Tavunga, it looks like that he's going to benefit from an Isaac Luke suspension and potentially Tohu Harris not coming back until next season. But unfortunately for Finu, Appy did come straight back into that team. And look, when he was first named at hooker, I thought, look, definitely it's going to be short term, but he played unbelievably well. Manly put some amazing wins together. I kind of thought he's a chance of holding this spot here, but Desi's obviously extremely loyal, wanted to go with a senior player at hooker there, but yeah, he'll certainly be giving him plenty of minutes off the bench, just given how well he's been.
Yeah, the next one we've got is To'o, who's been named over the last few weeks. He's got a 5-game average just over 40 points. He scored 45 points off the weekend purely from base stats being a winger, which is even bigger. For me, I'd be keeping him for another week. I think he's a great 18th man, great emergency option that you've got there. And he's got a low break even of 35. So you're not going to lose probably much money at all. If you are going to lose, probably very minimal.
Yeah, and look, if you're keeping him for the rest of the season as cover from the emergencies, it's irrelevant as well, isn't it? So I think guys like To'o and Burns are great 18th, 19th man coverage there. He's been great. So he actually started off his fantasy campaign with a single-digit score, but since then, it's just upped his work rate, and him and Mansour have really been ripping in recent weeks. So I do own him, and at this stage, I'll be holding all the way through in case one of my big guns in the wing fullback position go down at any stage. I'll be confident of bringing him in and looking even bring him in matchup dependent. So if they've got a really good game ahead of them, you might take a flyer on him because he's certainly capable and he scored some pretty good tries this year as well.
And as we saw, his low games are quite still pretty fantasy friendly. So next we've got Lomax, who was a late scratching over the weekend with a last minute injury. He's named on the reserves again this weekend. I can understand why a lot of coaches would be getting a bit anxious with him because he hasn't played much footy in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, you and I both sort of spruced him as one to hold, given that dual position status to play off your emergency list there. But yeah, looks like Ravalawa is going to get an opportunity ahead of him this week, named on that extended bench. So wait and see. I probably wouldn't pull the trigger as a trade this week, particularly if you're running quite low, and hopefully he can work his way back into that team because he is a Mary McGregor favourite as well. So I'd be surprised if we've seen the last of him this year.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be keeping him if I had a decent squad depth and had enough people in the emergency list.
Hashtag squad depth.
The next one we've got is Twal. So he was one of the big discussion points last weekend. He was named on the interchange again last weekend as well as this weekend. The main thing you'd be really concerned about was he had his lowest minutes of the season over the weekend with 48 minutes. He scored 42 points. For me, as you know, I sold him for Nathan Brown as a direct trade. Yeah, he's looking like a sell.
It's a concern, isn't it? Because he was putting out sort of mid to high 50s at one point. He's got that dual position status and he's now sort of regressed back to that 40 mark. And it's probably got a lot to do with the fact that he is missing that start to a game where a lot of footy's played through the middle third and the forwards tend to rack up points pretty quickly. I know, you know, if you check your fantasy app at the 10-minute mark, sometimes forwards are up at 15 and 16 points as they're really getting into the grind in the early stages. So he misses out on that. It could be by the time he comes onto the field, they're throwing the ball wide and he's not getting as many hit-ups and defense in the middle as well. So, yeah, it certainly affected him. I thought potentially he could have been a hold if he was going to get similar minutes, but it looks to have had an immediate impact on him. And like guys like Pierce and others that we've discussed, if you have got the trades, there's definite upgrades out there. And I think you made a great move going on to Nathan Brown, provided his ankle pulls up okay, of course.
Yeah, it could have been the curse of me once again. Next, we've got Paddy Carrigan from the Broncos. So he's done really good recently. 5-game average, just under 40 points. He's made some cash as well. Been a good front row forward option. But he looks like his time has come. He's back on the interchange, getting a bit limited minutes now. He looks to be a good sell for a potential upgrade.
Yeah, and obviously, Tevita Pangai Jr. comes back into that side. There's only so many minutes in that front row and second row forward position for the Broncos to be had. So, yeah, as you said, he's done really well. He's got a couple of 50-plus scores, I think, from memory without checking. But, yeah, look, people are obviously just looking to free up cash, and he looks like a good one to help you bring in a gun.
Talk about TPJ. I'm really excited to watch him as well this weekend against the Cowboys because we saw his performance earlier in the year. He's been one of the most...
You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
Beast performances of the year. And yeah, it might be a bit more revenge now for Lolo, hopefully.
I think he actually injured Taumalolo, didn't he, in a tackle? So, okay, there you go. So that's maybe another consideration for Captain's Corner for us on the podcast. I'm saying Cook. I mean, that's a good shout for Lolo as well. He could be pretty fired up.
We've got Reid Marnie. So he's done really well, and he hasn't been much on the radar over the last few weeks. I think a lot of coaches did sell him during the bye period for the Eels. But his last five games, just under 50 average. He's done quite well throughout the whole year, hasn't he?
He's been really good. But, I mean, he's had a couple of games where he's had to contend with a bench utility where he lost sort of 5 to 10 minutes a game there, and he's, you know, a couple of games playing around 60. So Brad Arthur's just playing around with his minutes a little bit too much, I think, for him to be a reliable option in your final 17. But on the whole, it's been a great fantasy season. I rode Reid Marnie throughout the majority of his cash rises, and I think I turned him into McInnes at the round 16 buy. So yeah, I'm a big Reid Marnie fan, but yeah, probably a little bit below some of the premium guys in the position, and therefore ideally not in your final 17.
And if you do own him, he's priced $620,000, so you could go from him to someone like Nathan Brown, for example, if you needed to do a bit of an upgrade.
Or even a Robbie Farah's almost a direct swap as well, so a couple of options.
And save you some cash as well. Lastly, we'll get to a player that I didn't realize many coaches still had, and that was Bryce Cartwright.
Oh, well, okay.
So during the bye period, I think it was round 13, most coaches got off him just after that week. But yes, coaches obviously still own him, and he's had a poor average in the last few games just due to him being on the interchange.
Yeah, look, the Cardi party's well and truly over. I think the cleanup's happened. It's, yeah, you're on to planning for the next party next year. But unfortunately, yeah, you've got to move him on if you do still own him. The only player really from the Titans I'd be considering is the returning Jai Arrow this week. Given that he spent so long on the sidelines injured, he could be a really good pod for the run home if you've got the trades to pull it off.
So that's it for who's not. Did you want to kick things off, or do you want me to kick things off with social
questions? Yeah, no, you've got the phone out. You go with Twitter. We'll start there.
We've only got a couple of questions, actually, on Twitter. It's been a bit quiet.
Is that because I put round 20 on the graphic and made a bit of a...
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably at that stage where most people have limited trades and they only have to deal with what they've got. So Roy Boy, he's got two questions. So he's looking at either keeping Twal and swapping to maybe To'o to Kotrick. Now, for me, I'd probably be keeping To'o.
I think To'o to Kotrick is probably a little bit sideways.
Yeah, that's what my first instinct is as well. And I know that with To'o, he's based that to getting me a decent score as well.
Yeah, look, the only sort of trade-in options for To'o that I'd be considering would be one of the big four. So your Ponga, Tedesco, RTS, or Trbojevic. Outside of that, I think that's a sideways move. And given how few trades people have, I think that is one that you could potentially look back on and wish you could get back if a Cameron Smith was to go down with two rounds to go, for example. So, yeah, I'd hold fire on that one, definitely.
And his second question is about 12, just in case he wanted to trade him to someone like Soliola to free up some cash, so to free up about $170,000.
I wouldn't be going Soliola again, probably along the lines of Wade Graham. He's a fantastic player in actual NRL. Had an amazing try, actually, over the weekend.
He did.
Showed that he's still got a turn of pace there. But yeah, probably just one of these guys that isn't really fantasy relevant. If I was trading Twal, I'd be trying to emulate the move you did last week and go to a Nathan Brown. He looks really good value still this week. So yeah, I'd look to guys like that instead of Soliola.
Yeah, I agree on both of those decisions. I'd probably hold on both. Did you want to go through our Facebook and Instagram questions?
Yeah, we really didn't have much on Twitter.
We didn't actually have. Yeah, surprised me. I kept on refreshing Twitter probably every hour today just to make sure that that was correct, because we normally have about at least five or six.
Yeah, we've got probably about the normal through Instagram and Facebook, so we'll run through those quickly now. The first one comes in from Sam, and he's looking at completing the trifecta of Smith, Cook, and McInnes, with Cook being the final piece. So I also own all three of those guys, so I think that's a great move and something to aspire to, definitely. He has only got four trades, and he's wondering, given that and head-to-head finals around the corner, should he be making that move now, or should he hold off a little bit later in the year? Look, for me, if it's going to cost you two trades, I'd almost be making it now and then trying to get home on two.
I'd be exactly the same. And it's good for people who play overall to realize that when you're playing head-to-head, your trade strategies are much different.
Yeah, that's right. So that's probably something we'll cover in detail, maybe in the preseason for next year, about how to manage trades depending on what format you're playing. But yeah, look, for your head-to-head finals, I don't know how far entrenched in your top eight you are, but if you're in any danger of missing out through losing a game, I'd really want Cook into my side, particularly given his scoring history with that 98 in his last outing against the Storm. I think he'll be a good one to have in your side this week.
It could get you in the top four and give you a week off maybe in a week or two's time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's risk involved. We could say that, and then you could have four injuries and you'll probably unsubscribe. But as I've said to someone through the week as well, I mean, we're not experts. We have been playing for a long, long time, in excess of 10 years. But we just are fans of the game, just like you guys. We'll give you our best knowledge and advice, but really we always say you've got to make your own decision and go with your gut. Neither of us have won NRL fantasy in the past, so yeah, definitely take our information on board and then lock in what feels right for you. Next we've got Hugh. So we did cover this, and he's asking, do we reckon it's time to offload Marnie? So in one trade he can get DCE, and I think you've got to lock that in.
Do it.
Yeah, don't even give that one a second.
Pause the podcast and do it now.
Yeah, actually do it right now.
Resume.
Yeah, exactly. So Jaden O'Brien's just written in. It's just a comment. He captained Teddy as well. So well done, Jaden, there. Nailed it.
Good move.
Liam's looking pretty jealous at that.
Very jealous. Yeah.
Next question comes in from Phoenix Taylor. So he currently has three keeper halves in Cleary, Johnson, and Munster, but he keeps getting edged out in his head-to-head league for not having McInnes. So he's decided to bring him in at the expense of one of those top-tier halves. So, I mean, all three of those guys you mentioned are out-and-out keepers, and surprisingly, Munster had a really low score despite the Storm blowing the Broncos off the park there. I think he scored a 37, so he's looking at McInnes' 88, and it's cost him a couple of wins. This trade would leave him with one left, but a complete team. For me, I'd be letting McInnes go.
I'd let it go as well, to be honest. I'd rather keep that extra trade up my sleeve, because those halves are premium options as well. It's not like they're premium options in their position. So,
I mean, Johnson's been in scintillating form. Nathan Cleary is likely going to line up this week without Maloney, so he's going to be doing all of the kick meters, all of the attacking play is going to come through him. And Munster can bust out 100 at any given time. He's such a dangerous runner of the ball. Yeah, look, I'd be holding off. I'd be just letting McInnes go as the one that got away, and just keeping your fingers crossed that the form turns around and hopefully jag a few more of those wins against other people that do own McInnes. I think it can swing in your way pretty easily.
Yeah, as we mentioned last week, there's always a player that usually gets away from you that you really want, that you know that you probably won't get in your squad this season. Bateman for me. Is it Moses for you or someone like that?
DCE? I hopefully will still get Moses. I'd love to have Moses and DCE. I'm only going to have one. So yeah, whichever guy I end up missing out on will be one of those two.
For him, it will unfortunately be McInnes.
Next, we've got Henry, who's written in saying 18th man Verlis for those extra points, or Braden Burns, who gives him cover in the center wing fullback position. So I'm assuming that he's looking at a run home without center or wing fullback coverage, which obviously is quite dangerous given how the emergencies work this year. And yeah, I'd probably be looking at Burns, just given that Verlis, I mean, you can bank on him for a mid-40 score, but I think Burns is probably good for a mid-30s, and then that gives you that cover in the wing fullback and center position. I mean, imagine with three rounds to go, if Bateman goes down for the rest of the year and you've got no more trades, you'd really be looking for Burns in that scenario.
Yeah, I'd be definitely going for Burns as well. You need to make sure that you've got adequate backup.
It's crucial, isn't it? I mean, I'm nervous with the very little trades that I have left, but I do have cover in every position, so I can cover a short-term injury. But despite that, I'm still not going to drain those trades because every year there seems to be an injury crisis around this kind of year. It's been a little bit too quiet over the past few weeks, so I'm expecting something to happen. Next question comes in from Smithy and Zed. So he's asking what the go is with Lomax and would it be worth trading him for a red dot or someone like Verrills? And that would then allow him to upgrade Cleary to DCE. For me, that's the Cleary to DCE trade. I know Cleary's stats were down last week. He scored in the high 30s, but I'd love to own him for the run home. I think that's bordering on sideways as well, despite Cherry Evans being in a little bit better form at the moment.
Yeah, I think definite sideways decision. For the other part of the question, I'd probably, depending how his squad looks from his emergency bench.
I should mention he has got six trades. So Lomax to Verrills, I think you could make that in the position you're in.
Yeah, you could make that trade.
And with the money that you save, instead of going Cleary to DCE, maybe look at one of your other mid-rangers that you might be able to turn into a Farrah or a Nathan Brown, something like that. I wouldn't be trading out Cleary. I think he's a keeper right through to the end.
Yeah, Cleary's great.
Next, we've got Mate Stops. So, like us, he's been really disappointed in what Pierce has been putting out lately and wants to know if he's a hold or a sell. So, I think we made our thoughts clear. Yep. If you have got the trades, there's definite upgrades available out there. His scoring really has come off the pace. And he's saying that he can trade out Finu for Moses or go safe with Cook. For me, everyone knows I'm a big Moses fan. I'm eyeing him off in the next couple of weeks. But as I said before, I think Cook's a must-have. So I think you've got to go Finu to Cook in this scenario.
Yeah, and majority of the top teams have Cook already anyway. So if he's scoring great scores and you're not getting them, everyone's going up.
You can get left behind. That's exactly right. He does make the point that Moses has a great run home, and that's very true. So if there's another way you can get Moses into the team, certainly look at it, but I'd be taking Cook first all day long. Next question comes in from F Trend, and he's asking, is Kenny to Gula and then Pierce to Watson a crazy move? Probably wouldn't be going Gula, given that he's named on the extended bench, I believe, this week for the Raiders. But there's other cash-out options for Kenny. Pierce to Watson, it's a tough one. If Watson's playing 80 minutes at hooker, I love him, particularly at wing fullback.
It's just the job security, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I just don't know what's going on at the Knights at the moment. Danny Levi is named on an extended bench. If they drop another game, you know, there's every likelihood that Watson goes into the halves and Levi back into hooker. So I just couldn't bring him in with any confidence at the moment.
And for the people who kept Watson a few weeks ago from the beginning, they'll be reaping the benefits of their patience.
Yeah, absolutely. He's so fantasy friendly, isn't he? As long as he gets the minutes, he's fast, he can break a tackle. He's obviously extremely fit. He gets through a hell of a lot of defense. So yeah, I really like him and you could risk it. But you've just got to make that trade knowing that Levi could come back at any stage, just given, you know, how out of form the Knights are at the moment. And finally on Instagram, you had barely any on Twitter. There's a stack here. Ollie's written in saying he's got one trade left and thinking of trading Drinkwater to Tom, Jake or MILF. So I'm guessing that's Tommy Turbo, Jake Turbo or MILF. Mate, with one trade left, I'd be sticking strong with Drinkwater there.
With one trade, yeah. And he's got that dual position status as well. So if you do pick up an injury in a couple of weeks' time, you can shift him in.
Yeah, and look, I'd just be hoping that with Morgan back in that team, he'll start to build a bit of a combination before the end of the year. He's extremely talented.
He hasn't played many NRL games in general anyway, so you knew you were sort of taking a risk when you did buy him. I think he had a handful of games, a couple under his
belt.
He
did, but some really good scores. Definitely. So, he's got that fantasy-friendly game where he has the ability to break a tackle. Obviously, all those other guys are major upgrades, but you can't leave yourself with zero trades with what, five rounds to go?
Nah, you can't leave it that.
So before we round out the pod, we'll go through the Facebook questions now. And the first one comes in from Jamie. He still has Pierce, like you, Liam. We've covered him in great detail. We both think he's a sell if you can afford the trades. But he is acknowledging the Knights do have a great run home, but given how terrible he's looking, he still has no confidence. So look, we're with you there. Definite risk in holding Pierce there. And he's wondering whether RTS to Teddy would be worth it. I mean, Teddy doubled or more than doubled RTS score this weekend. But yeah, I'd be thinking of other options to get Teddy into your side rather than trade RTS. I've still got RTS as one of four options as a keeper in that position.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think he's been one of the best players over the last five or six games in that position. So, yeah, no need to sell him.
And the Warriors haven't had too many attacking opportunities of late, still managing, you know, a mid-40s or a low-40s score in the wing fullback, I think is still a pretty good effort. So if they get some more opportunities over the next couple of weeks, I'm pretty confident he's got one or two more big scores in him as well. Next question comes in from Katie, and she's looking to get in DCE this week, like a lot of people are. He's the second most popular buy this week, and she's also looking at getting in Cameron Murray for Ryan Madison, but that would leave her with zero trades for the last three rounds of her head-to-head competition. She's asking if these are good trades. 100%, they're both great trades, but I just am not confident enough to say lock them both in now with three rounds to go. Potentially, I'd just be making the one, and I'd be looking at DCE.
Yeah, DCE. And what was the second trade to Madison?
Cameron Murray.
No, I like Cameron Murray. He's had a great weekend, and I'd be keeping him.
Well, no. So she's actually trading out Ryan Madison for Murray. Okay, yeah. So Madison, of course, if you haven't watched the games over the last weekend or paid much attention to his scores, he has moved to lock and it's significantly reduced his minutes, and he's kind of reverted back from mid-50s or even mid-60s back to sort of 40, 45 scores. So he's looking like a sell for a lot of people. Cameron Murray's been in amazing form. He got a try over the weekend and around 50 tackles for an 80-odd score. So really impressive. So again, Katie, yeah, they are fantastic trades, and I'd plan to make them both if you can between now and the grand final of your head-to-head when you make it through. But I'd stagger them, just making one at a time, one per week, if you can afford to do so. Next question comes in from Chris Cook, and he sent us through his team asking if there's anywhere we think we could make his team stronger. Look, there's nothing really obvious without reading out the team on the podcast. But his second question is, who are our captain options this week? I've spoke about mine being Cook. You haven't really alluded to who you're thinking of this week.
Tom Ololo, I think. I'll give him a third week in a row. If I was going to do a late change, it'd probably either be McInnes or Cook. But I want to stay strong with Lolo.
I thought about McInnes, but then playing the Titans, surely the Dragons will get the win. So you wouldn't be relying on his normal defensive load, I don't think. But, you know, he's every chance of getting out a dummy half for some really good runs or sneaking out and putting Vaughan over for a try of a short ball. We've seen him do that on so many occasions. So he could get a massive score, but I think it'll be in a different way to what we've seen in recent times. So a couple of options there. Let us know what you lock in. And finally, sort of question, but a comment. Sebash has written in, fellas, I finally sold Kenny Bromwich, and it was for Jake Turbo, and he's had him since round three, and he hurt him with an 89. So I think he's spitting the dummy. He's not happy.
A game of his career, and he had to sell him just before.
I know. So I actually just replied back on my lunch break today, but I mean, still going to Jake Turbo in the long term, it's still the play. I mean, he hasn't scored above 50 since about round 10 or something like that. So it's still a good trade. I think that, yeah, it'll pay off in the long run.
Definitely pay off. It's just the fantasy gods.
That's it.
Just blame them.
Exactly. This will be your week. So thanks everyone for listening. I mean, there's thousands of sports podcasts, NRL podcasts out there. So we appreciate you've taken the time to listen to us week in, week out. Our podcast has grown much bigger than our expectations at the start of the year. So it's been fantastic. We didn't put out the break evens this week just because we've been looking at our analytics and there's almost no reads compared to what was, you know, middle way through the season. So if you are thinking about a trade and want to know a break even, send us a message and we'll get it to you. But we'll put the time into some other things as opposed to that at this time of the year where break evens are pretty well irrelevant, aren't they, for most weeks, very, given how low trades are.
Sorry to interrupt. And when you've got a few trades under your belt, you don't want to really care about the break even.
It's more about just getting the best scorers in, isn't it? Regardless of price, just on what you can afford there. The time for cash cows is well and truly over. If you enjoy the podcast, a lot of people have asked how they can support us. Probably the best way would be just making sure you're following us on all of our social media channels. Feel free to share it. But also jump onto iTunes, and if you can give us a review, that would be amazing, because then we can pop up in the feed for other people as a recommended podcast. So, we've got some reviews in there at the moment, which is fantastic. We love to see that from you guys. So if you do get a spare moment, that would be amazing. If not, all good. As long as you keep tuning in, week out, we'll keep putting these out. We enjoy it. So
yeah, and try to spread the word as much as you can. If you know anyone who might like the podcast, feel free.
Thanks, guys. Best of luck for the weekend. Make sure you send us a message with who you're locking in as captain, and we'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you in the week after, in 2 weeks' time, but we'll let you know how we went over the weekend. And as I said, feel free to contact us through our socials, ask us any questions, how we did, who our captain choices are, and we'll get back to you.
See you, guys.
See ya.